Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast brought to you by Shooters in Nagoya. I'm John Gibson, and with me, as always, is Jim Allen. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, John. How's it going? How are your legs feeling after the marathon?
I'm actually feeling a lot better than I thought I would, and I feel a lot better than I have after other marathons. But, you know, just a little bit of pain, but by the time I get into the office, I'll be walking normally, I think, on Wednesday.
Okay, well, let's hope so. I won't see you because I'll be off on Wednesday, but we've got lots going on this week, so lots to talk about tonight.
All right, well, today we're going to discuss the CL and PL Climax Series, and we have a quick interview with Alex Ramirez to go with that, and we're going to answer some listener questions, so let's get started by clearing the bases.
Okay, well, I talked to Alex Ramirez on Friday at Tokyo Dome when the Giants worked out before the beginning of the Climax Series, and he had a couple of intriguing things to say, particularly about the timing of the Climax Series, because, you know, the Giants had 6 days between games.
6 days, yeah.
They played on the 22nd, and then they come back 7 days later to play on the 29th again at Jingu. And so he was concerned about that, and that was the main issue. And so, shall we get into that?
Yes.
It's kind of hard when you take some time off, you know. And, of course, not only for us. I mean, both teams, we got some days off in between, stuff like that.
As a player, does that, you feel like we're not putting out our best? Because it's hard to put out your best. It's kind of a disappointment.
Well, I mean, there's nothing we can do. The timing is going to be off, no matter what, you know. It's not like before when you're playing almost every day and you just get at least one day off.
Right.
But your timing is still the same.
Yeah.
So now you're going there and thinking I have to, you know, produce right away, and it's a little bit hard because our timing is not the same, you know.
And the other guys the same thing.
It's the same thing. I mean, it's everybody's the same, you know. So this is not an advantage for anybody.
Right.
That's just the way it is, you know. Hopefully, you know, we can put something together.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, some of it then is a question of who can get back to speed quickly.
Yes. And a lot of the times, all the guys that don't even play,
right,
you get the opportunity, you just go there, and one. All right? They have a good game. It's like unexpected.
Right. Because they're used to coming.
Because that's their game. That's their game.
Okay.
You know? We're off our game. Now that's their game.
Okay.
You know? So a lot of the time, those are the guys that produce better.
Well, you got a couple of guys hurt, so maybe you can have some guys who haven't been playing.
Exactly. So, see what happens. It's going to be, you know, exciting. You know,
right,
looking
now, the
forward.
Team's playing really well. I mean,
right
up until the end of the season.
Yes. The team is, and hopefully we can continue. You know.
Right.
So.
Okay. Good luck.
All right, well, that was an interesting interview. I mean, I took away from it that, you know, when he talked about these guys coming off the bench and that their timing isn't disturbed because they're used to coming off the bench, I'm having a hard time buying that.
Well, I think it's interesting. I mean, you always have, you know, in Japan they have this phenomenon of the lucky boy, the guy who's comes up big, who's often, you know, maybe he's a role player or some such player who doesn't get a lot of playing time in the regular season,
right,
and he has a big series, or
right,
and that would follow, but I don't know if, you know, if you take a bench player and you can't take him off the bench for 5 or 6 days, if you sit him down essentially and just let him practice, whether he's going to be sharp,
right.
I like the idea.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it works or not, but it was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's like, why can they step up against, you know, because a lot of times they get at-bats against closers or late-inning relief guys, and they have success.
Sure.
And then you ask guys who are playing all the time to have success or something like that, and they can't do it. I don't know if I buy that particular. Maybe we'll have Alex on, and he can elaborate on that in a future show. But, of course, since their season is over now, we don't know when that'll be. Congratulations to the Swallows for winning Game 3, which we both predicted the Giants would win the third game and push through to the final stage of the Climax Series. But Swallows got it done.
Swallows got it done, and they got it done the way they they did in the first 3 months of the season, winning two out of three while being outscored.
Yeah. So, see, it can happen. You can have success. You just have to, you have to be able to win those close games. But you know what? Akagawa, what's his name, Katsuki?
Katsuki
Akagawa pitched his heart out tonight, and it's all about the heart, man. I told you about this team earlier that they have heart, and he showed it tonight. I mean, great performance for him.
Well, yeah, he could have given in. I mean, it would have been easy to say, well, you know, I don't really belong here, but I think he thinks he belongs. I think early on, particularly, I think batters from both teams. I don't know if it was the batters as much. The Giants batters didn't seem to notice that they were getting a small strike zone.
And they were training everything, huh?
Yeah, well, they were. I mean, there were some bad swings going on there. I mean, they were swinging not so much bad swings, but pitches that were so far out of the zone it was pitiful, and the pitchers were getting squeezed. So, but you know they got up. You know they got used to it. And you know, and kept going. And it's a shame that Dickey Gonzalez pitched another great game.
He's another studly outing from him. I mean, I was thinking Akagawa was just getting by, but Gonzalez was breezing.
He was. The difference between the two is kind of reminded me of the difference between Darvish and Wakui in the first game of the Pacific League Climax Series, where Wakui allowed two runs, but he struggled. I mean, he didn't look good at all. And Akagawa allowed one run, and he pitched in a lot of tough situations. But Gonzalez looked like he was the one who was in command.
Yeah,
and he got hung with a loss.
It was kind of like Rocky fighting Apollo Creed. I mean, one guy's bloodied and ugly, but he's not falling down. And the other guy's pretty and dancing, but, you know, he hasn't won yet.
Pretty and dancing, Dickey Gonzalez. I like the image. Okay, Dickey... also had a nice chat with Dickey before on that Friday, and he loved to watch him swing the bat, and he did get, he got it. He was one for one in the series with two sacrifices.
Yep. I mean, well, let's go through, you know, game by game here.
All right.
Let's talk about game one first. Now, Sawamura, I mean, what a shocker. They put out Hirokazu Sawamura, the Giants dude, to start game one. And immediately I said, why are they doing this? I mean, that's the thing that came to mind for me. And I thought, okay, they're looking past this series to the next series, was my first thought.
Oh.
Because they know that Sawamura has pitched really well at Nagoya Dome, especially his last two games there against the Dragons. And they wanted him to start game one of that next series so they could get him out there twice.
All right.
And to me, that's why they yanked him so early in the game.
Okay.
He only allows a run on, what, three straight hits? And then five innings? And
I have to apologize. I didn't see much of game one or two in Jingu because I was on my way. I was moving at the time. So.
I know you were en route to somewhere or from somewhere to somewhere else. So.
Yep.
It was, you know, he got yanked early. I think it was after five innings. I'm checking now as we talk. But, you know, and I kept thinking, you know, this is stupid. You guys got to win this game, and you know, why are you taking him out now? And what are you going to do? You're gonna rely on your bullpen to get you through this game. And yeah, sure enough, you know, they didn't. So it was five innings. He gave up five hits. He struck out five, and he gave up a run. And he was ready to go longer. But the first guy they bring in, Takagi.
Right.
Yeah, gives up a couple runs. Now, they weren't earned.
Right.
But he gives up a couple runs. They end up losing the game. And that's what happens in the playoffs. I mean, you know, you make little mistakes. You make little errors, and that's what ends up costing you.
Well, it happens all the time. I don't think it just happens in the playoffs, except that you know, everything's magnified.
Right. Well, I mean little errors. You know what I mean?
And the regular season, you don't see things like Salmer coming out after five innings and having allowed a run. You know, so 73 pitches, they were I think you're right. They're probably saying, well, we want him to pitch in Nagoya in game one, and so we're going to stop him real early and bring him back on short rest, but it didn't really work. I mean, Tateyama pitched through 98 pitches in five innings.
Yeah.
And It wasn't appreciably worse. He was just, you know, they're making a lot of contact on his pitches, which is normal for him.
Right. I mean, he got through it. I mean, you know, they did essentially the same thing: five innings,
right.
One run. And you know, neither one of them got a decision. I just think, you know, it's things like this that Hara has to stop doing so that he won't be criticized. Now, I don't know. I didn't see all the, you know, I was getting ready for the marathon, so I didn't see all the articles and everything about it. But
everybody was picking Sal Mer to start game one. Yeah, I think that was not that big of a secret.
Which is fine. I mean, you know, Utsumi came out the next day and essentially saved them because he pitched well. But, I mean, Utsumi could have pitched, you know, well, the first day and gotten you that lead in the series, and then you're putting the pressure on the Swallows now, and it's a different, you know, their at-bats become more meaningful when it gets late in the game, and perhaps, let's say, they haven't scored or they're down around.
I think this was all based on recent form. I think Hara probably liked Sal Mer better right now.
Interesting. I mean, I know that they threw Utsumi out in a relief effort in the last game against Yokohama. So
that was just a
But it ended up being five innings, so I think, you know, that might have played a role in why he didn't start that first game, because they're giving him an extra day of rest. I don't know.
I think the plan was to let him go five innings and give him a little extra work, and that Sal Mer with two innings was going to be the guy who was going to start on Saturday. I think the plan was already done then.
All right. So the Swallows win game one, 3-2, but the Giants come back and take game two, and the Swallows gave up four runs in the ninth inning, really essentially put the game away.
Right.
And Yoshinobu Takahashi had a bases-clearing double off the closer, Lim Chang-young, in the ninth inning. That was a key blow, and that might have been one of the reasons that we didn't see Mr. Lim in the ninth inning of the clincher.
Which is, to me, kind of curious.
Yeah. Swallows won the clincher 3-1, but Muranaka, normally a starter, pitches the last, what, two innings?
Well, he pitched, you know, he did the bulwark of the relief. He got everyone but the last out in the first game, and then he comes back and pitched a couple innings tonight, and he was pretty sharp.
Yeah, he throws two innings tonight. He gives up a home run in the ninth inning to Guts Ogasawara, but that's it, and closes the door, puts the Swallows into the into the final stage of the Climax Series for the first time. This is the first playoff series win.
That is correct. They finished third in 2009, and they lost in Nagoya, and before the Dragons came to Tokyo Dome and lost there.
So now what do you think this, I mean, you know, your bullpen, the one thing I thought Ogawa did well was he decided he was going to adjust on the fly, and he started using guys in different roles, and Muranaka was one, where he said, you know what, I know you're a starter, but I need you in the bullpen.
Well, you know, the other thing is that Muranaka hadn't pitched really well, unless I'm mistaken, he hadn't pitched really well in the last couple of games, and I think maybe to get him out of that role. And I do like that. I like that, and we talked a little bit about this the other day when Ochiai was pulling Iwase in the ninth inning when the game was still on the line.
Mm-hmm.
I think the message here is that these are not regular games, and we're going to be doing things a little differently. So that may be part of the same thing. I mean, that was my interpretation of it. Who knows?
Right. Muranaka threw 3 2/3 innings in the game, in the opener.
Right.
And, you know, he was pretty sharp then as well. I mean, you know, we've seen this before, I don't know, in the Pacific League with Takayuki Kishi of the Lions, who had this heroic effort in the 2008.
Yeah, then his, I don't think he could use his right arm for a few months.
And, you know, and it worked out well for the Lions that year. And Muranaka looked pretty good out of the bullpen. I mean, you know, he can get lefties out, he can get righties out, so I don't think you have to worry about who he's facing so much as how he's pitching. So, but now the problem, as you mentioned before we began taping the show, who's going to start the first game of the series against the Dragons? They're headed to Nagoya. They're going to start their series on Wednesday. We got games scheduled every day, I believe. I didn't see the schedule come up yet because they didn't actually know who was playing yet. So
right. Well, I just, you know, since we were talking about it, these are Muranaka's last five starts.
Okay.
five innings, four runs, four and two-thirds innings, four runs, four innings, four runs, three and two-thirds innings, three runs, five innings, four runs. I think that's the guy we want in the bullpen.
I think that's the guy you want on the second team.
So, yeah, who's going to start? It's a good. I'm not betting, so it doesn't matter if I say who my money's on.
That's true.
Because it's like free advice. It's got to be, I think we're going to see Masubuchi.
That was one I have a question mark by him, but I wrote him down.
No, I think there ain't going to be no question mark about him. He's going to have to go. They were talking about him in this series. Yeah,
he did pitch in relief in this series.
I think in the opener?
Yesterday, because everybody pitched yesterday.
Right.
And yesterday meaning Sunday.
Right.
So, yeah, I would say Masubuchi, Tateyama, Ishikawa, Akagawa again, and then see where they are.
Well, I think we're going to see, might see Yamamoto as the starter, Hitoshi Yamamoto.
Wow.
They might even drag, to dust off Shichijo. They haven't used him in a couple of months. And they figure, well, the Dragons haven't seen him.
And the Dragons haven't seen him. That's what I was going to say. It's he's good against a team that haven't seen that little floater ball that he throws.
Well, I love him because he's just fearless.
Well, I remember your comment earlier this year. Maybe he just doesn't know that the pitches he's throwing are easy to hit, and so he's not afraid to throw them.
Mike Allen knows they're easy to hit, and he just keeps throwing them at the knees, and he's pretty good at keeping the ball down. And guys, I think he just frustrates. I had a chat with Alex Ramirez about that, and he said, "Yeah, I remember. We'd never seen him before. Mm-hmm. In fact, they only saw him once this year." And he said, it looked like the Giants were all freezing up on his pitches. And what happened was he was throwing first pitches for strikes, and the Giants batters were in such a funk that they, I guess, collectively decided to take the first pitch. And that day, the first pitch was a strike.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the pitches got progressively worse, and it made them look like, watching the game, they looked like, man, like they were facing Sugiyuchi and they just couldn't pick up the release point or something.
Okay,
they
yeah,
hit this deer in the headlights look.
I remember watching.
So that could do with the Dragons, although I expect the Dragons to be better prepared and have a better plan than that.
Well, yeah, I don't think the plan will be taking the first pitch if it's a strike all the time. But, I do remember seeing that game, and I kept saying, he's throwing these little butterfly pitches right over the plate, guys. What are you waiting for? Or what are you looking for? Or what are you expecting? What are you, how come you're not hitting these things?
They're waiting for the real pitches.
Yeah. Like, get the little boy off the mound and get a man out there to throw us a fastball. We'll start swinging.
Okay. So we might see him. I'm not guessing that's the case. I'm thinking we'll see Hitoshi Yamamoto, who pitched a few pretty good games for the Swallows, and we'll see probably Masubuchi in two and Tateyama in three, and cross your fingers if it's Ishikawa in four.
Well, now what do you think about the managing job that Junji Ogawa did for the Swallows in this series? I mean, there were some things that he did, especially in the last two games, that I was questioning. But other than that, what was your opinion on what he was doing?
Well, again, I really only saw the last game. So he made a lot of substitutions. He played almost as if his team was losing.
Yeah, that's what
speed on the bases, like he needed one run. Actually, to be fair, he was playing like he needed to tie the game, which is all they needed. It was because he's got speed and he's got defense and he's got Tateyama warming up in the bottom of the sixth. He's got Tateyama warming up because the inning ends with Akagawa on deck. And I'm thinking, wow, this is really entertaining. This is an extremely entertaining climax series game. You usually don't see this in the first stage.
Yeah, you don't. And I mean, I heard the announcer say that Tateyama said, look, I'm available and I'm going to the bullpen.
Right.
And so it probably was a Tateyama thing. It wasn't so much an Ogawa thing as the reason why he was down there, because, I mean, he ended up not coming into the game.
No, but I think if they had pinch hit for him, if they had pinch hit for Akagawa, he would have come out and pitched the seventh, I'm sure.
Well, Ogawa yanked, for two nights in a row, he yanked Vladimir Valentin from the game kind of early. And
seventh inning today. Yeah,
the Saturday night game, he was down a run and took him out. And I'm like, well, even if you get this run in, you know, and you're taking him out for a pinch runner, right. Even if you get this run in, you're only going to tie. And, I mean, you still have ample opportunity to lose the game, so you still need his bat. So why are you taking him out so early? And he did the same thing tonight. He was, you know, he took him out.
And we're talking about no outs in the seventh inning.
And just yanked him. And, I mean, it turned out to be a good move because they got a two-out hit, and the pinch runner, Ueda, who is a former Dragon, I believe, came around. Came around to score the run, and he barely got past. You know, and then, of course, the Giants had the outfield way in.
Uh-huh.
And it was a two-out hit to left. And, I mean, we've talked about it before. I think the outfield was Ramirez in left, Chono in center, and Tani in right. So, I mean, any place but center, you're going to get the run in. It really doesn't matter how close they play him, and that's exactly what happened. Ramirez was as close as you can be as a left fielder, and he got the ball. And, you know, he made a pretty decent throw to the plate, but it one-hopped, and, you know, it wasn't really in a good spot for Avi to just grab it and hit down with the tag. So he's got a reach, and Ueda slides by, and they ended up tagging him on the butt. And, you know, you're never going to get that call, whether it's safe or out, but he was safe. But, I mean,
right.
It's just too bad. I mean, you know, but so it ended up being a good call, but I still would rather, you know, he was winning the game 1-0. You didn't need that second run as much as you needed, you know, his bat if the game gets tied. Right.
I'll correct you that Ueda's began his career with the Swallows. However, the guy who drove him in is a former Dragon.
Oh, that's right. It was Morioka.
Morioka.
Yosuke. Morioka is the former Dragon. Okay. Yeah, I knew there was a Dragon out there somewhere running around, so.
Little guy with the bad breath.
Whoa.
I thought Dragon's fire, man.
Yeah. Okay. But, you know, he, you're right. He was managing like he was down a run. But then when you think about it, they only needed the tie. So maybe he was just thinking, hey, look, two runs, you know, I've got one run. I need an insurance run. And then if we end up tying, I'm fine. Because, you know, a walk and a home run can tie the score, but I'm still going on to the second stage.
Okay, I'll tell you what I love about this is I love managers who are unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
And looking, Japanese baseball is so predictable.
Yep.
And Ogawa is fairly predictable in the regular season, but he's like, I'm going to show these guys a little something new. I mean, you don't know what the Dragons are laughing or kind of shaking their heads or, you know, they're going to have absolutely no idea what the Swallows are going to do in the series.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's good. It's good to have this, you know, this aspect of the game where you know, you're questioning the managerial moves because normally, they play ping pong, basically, we know where you're going to hit it, and we're just trying to have a rally here, and then see who screws it up, you know, on the field, but we're not going to get in the way of the players. So it's nice to see them actually make some moves and make people, you know, blink their eyes and shake their heads and say, what do I do now? What's going on here? You know, so it's good.
I wrote before the start of the season that because the schedule was so weird and because the spring training was interrupted, and because there was a new ball, and because the umpires were new, and everything was different, and teams were going to be playing day games instead of night games, and blah, blah, blah. All these things were going to be completely out of the norm. And I had a feeling that, I know we had a disagreement about this, but I said you could see a team that's really not that good do really well, simply because their manager was more flexible to deal with the situation. And I didn't think that so much about the Swallows because he was basically he didn't have to adjust like Hara. He wasn't a big run, you know, big inning manager. Well, Hara's a small ball manager with a big inning team and doesn't quite know what to do with it.
Right.
But Ogawa's a manager who's small ball all the way, fundamentals all the way, and that's how they approach. You know, they were in the right place at the right time. They had the mentality, they had the groove. That runs were few and far between was not a big problem. Well, now he looks like I don't know if it's right or wrong, but I love the dimension it brings to it. I mean, the best part of the 2008 series, which was one of my favorite series in the last decade, 2008 Japan series, was the chess moves with the use of the starting rotation and the bullpens. The bullpens, by the overuse of the bullpen by the Giants, and the overuse, we'll say overuse because it's non-standard use of the starting pitchers by the Lions.
Out of the bullpen,
out of the bullpen. And basically Hara using his bullpen in immediate relief, not waiting for starters to get into big trouble, you know, yanking them before they had a chance to get, you know, to even get their arms cranked out on them. So you love that, and this series in Nagoya should be really, really fun. I think unless the Swallows pitchers just don't have it, which is a possibility, and the Dragons just, you know, conk them on the head and take it.
Well, you know, that's the advantage of winning the league title, is that you get a pitching staff, you know, a rotation that is basically jumbled and bumbled because you've got to play that first stage. So, but I mean,
well, the Swallows did not look all that much. They didn't look any better than the Giants. They just won two games.
They just won the games. Exactly. And speaking of winning two games, let's go to the PLCS, before we get there, Jim and I both picked the Giants to make it through to this second round, so we were both wrong.
I picked them in two games.
Yeah, but and we picked the Lions to take out the Fighters, but we both said three games, and they did it in two. Two
they
rather impressive
two. Man,
comeback victories. I mean, I'm surprised.
Yeah, and Kensuke Tanaka, this was Kensuke Tanaka comes back for the Fighters. First time in nearly
June
5 months.
Yeah, June something. Yeah.
Yeah, 4.5 months he hasn't. And you know what? He didn't play in the minors either.
Yeah.
Well, his first game was the instructional league.
Yeah, instructional league ball. Yeah.
So he played against, the Nigun team was playing against one of the Shikoku Island League teams.
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
Yeah.
He comes in, he draws a walk, he scores the first run. I mean, man, the Fighters are in business. Darvish is on the mound. They got two runs on the board. What else can go right for him? And the answer is nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing went right for him the whole day.
Yeah. They ended up losing that game in 11 innings, 5-2, and the next day 8-1, and that was all she wrote. The Fighters were gone. The Lions are moving on to stage two, and they're going to Fukuoka. But I have to be honest, man. I was asking the whole time about game one. Why take Darvish out?
Yep.
I mean, I know Hisashi Takeda is the closer, and that's his job to pitch the ninth inning. But, gosh, I mean, he was pitching fine. He's your ace. You're not going to get him back for the series. You don't have to start the next series until Thursday, and if you want to run him out there on short rest, you can. If you get there, I think it's another case of a manager thinking about the next round before he got there.
Well, I think that's what we're getting this year because the short turnaround. I mean, we used to have usually 3 or 4 day turnarounds. Well, the Lions got a 3 day turnaround, but it used to be 4 or 5. It has been in the past. Usually, at least 3. I mean, the Central League's got 1 because of the late start and the first stage and the early start of the second stage. But this is something. This is a new dimension, and I like the new dimensions. I like anything that's new breaks up the routines. And you know, we'll see who can. You know, when the rhythm changes, let's see who can still dance. And I think the answer is Nashida wasn't one of them.
Yeah, outgoing manager. You know, he got himself out like a bad hitter. I mean, I just don't think you got a lockdown ace. I don't take him out for somebody like Takeda. You know, stuff wise, I don't care if it's an 85% Darvish stuff wise versus 100% Takeda stuff wise. I'm not taking him out,
right.
Especially in a playoff situation. Just let him finish off the game. I mean, he's a proven playoff stud.
Not only that,
he's in the game.
And he's given the ball to he's given the ball to the guys who've done the job, and I have no problem with that. But again, he had thrown 101 pitches, but this is the thing. Darvish is Darvish. you use them in game one, you're not going to use them until game two or game three.
Exactly.
In the next series. 101 pitches, 110 pitches, 120 pitches. Who
same
are we
thing.
Kidding?
It's the same thing. Yeah.
How many times have we seen a pitcher, how many times have you seen a pitcher of that caliber, you know, give up a run and look mediocre for one brief moment? And then just come back and say, okay, well, I know how to get it done. Well, he didn't get a chance to get it done because Masui's out. And then, now we're stuck with the closer, our decent closer. I let him close for me. And, in a one-run save situation. I would have, to be honest, if I were him, you don't need pinch hitters. Leave Darvish in for 9 innings. Let him throw 140 pitches.
Let him decide the game. I mean, because he's sitting on the bench, and then, I mean, you got to sit there and regret the move. I mean, how can you look your ace in the eye? You know, you've taken him out of the game, and now the lead is gone, and you're going into extra innings. Sorry, dude. I mean, what do?
What do the fighters tell him? That we don't want him to go over 100 pitches because we don't want to lower his value in the posting market?
Yeah, I look at him and I don't want to lower the value in the posting market. I just look at, if I'm the manager, I'm like, posting, that's all. But of course, he's not going to be there. What's he care, right? That's
enough.
So I don't know. So then game two now, again, the Fighters took the lead fairly early. And then things just fell apart. They yanked Takeda after 5 innings.
Right.
And, I mean, he had only given up a run. I didn't get that one either. meanwhile...
Well, Tucker, this is an interesting game because, I mean, you look at these two matches. Well, he hadn't given up a run, but he really wasn't very effective.
All right.
He was giving up a lot of hits. He was getting up balls that were pretty well hit.
But he doesn't throw hard anyway. He's going to give up batted balls. So you're either going to catch him or you're not.
And he's not walking anybody.
It's
so
five hits in 5 innings. He wasn't getting knocked all over the place.
No. But, why not let him pitch? On the other hand, I think the panic is setting in because the Fighters haven't scored any runs since September. I think maybe August.
Well,
is it conceivable? It just seems like they were shut out about their last 20 games.
I can understand the panic, but they had a one-run lead, and then he let the run in, and they got out of the inning. It's a 1-1 game. And, you know, going to the 6th inning, I mean, it wasn't like he was going to... I mean, he was facing the top of the order was coming up, but, you know, only one guy had a hit, in the game up to that point, and that was Kuriyama. I don't know. I don't really think they needed the yank in there, especially when you have your bullpen. And, again, we saw a manager making an adjustment. He went to Brian Wolfe. He went to a guy who's normally a starter.
I got no problem with any of the guys he went with.
Well,
results were bad, but I think you got to stick with your starter more than 5 innings.
Well, yeah, that's why I disagree. If Takeda pitches
65 pitches, give me a break.
Yeah, if Takeda pitches another inning, let's say, and keeps the score even, Wolf comes in and he throws it 2 innings. Now you're to the 8th inning.
Sure.
And it's a different ball game.
And then you bring Sash Takeda in.
Then you don't have to bring in Ishii. Then you don't have to bring in Masui, who's got a tendency to start fires. He throws hard. Love the guy. He throws hard.
Well, Masui's had a good. He's had good results against the Fighters, against the Lions.
Yeah.
And I think that was a lot of this was based on that. But I tend to I want to dismiss small numbers of data, small amounts of data like
small,
that.
But that's all we have. Yeah.
That's all we have. So, yeah, he was successful against the Lions, and he has been successful against the Lions.
And that was the same with Miyanishi. He'd only given up a hit to Nakamura. Nakamura was 1-for-8 against him coming into that at bat, and then he tried to sneak a fastball past him.
Yeah.
Don't mind this fastball here right over the outside part of the plate.
It's just visiting.
It's just visiting. It'll be gone soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be gone sooner.
So, and this game was so interesting for a number of reasons. One is that we had a game between, this was the game where, in fact, here's the other thing. Okay, game one, we've got Darvish and Wakui. We figure, these are the two. This is going to be a showdown. One of these two guys is going to be standing, and the other guy is going to be the loser. Then we've got game two, and we've got Nishiguchi, who's never won in the postseason.
That's right. This was his first win in 10 postseason starts. Okay. Oh, appearances. I don't know if they were all starts.
They were all starts. And Takeda, who has been, I don't know what he is out there. He's a bullseye because people are taking aim at whatever he throws up there in the postseason. He's been bad.
Yeah.
I think he's 1-5 or something, but in the postseason. But he has a really, really bad record in the postseason. And these are two guys you think, wow, one of these, who's going to be the first to, who's going to be the one to crack early? And Nishiguchi looked like he was in trouble. He was in trouble in the first inning. He was in trouble in the third inning. He gives up a fourth inning homer. And then after he gives up the homer, the solo homer to Micah Hoffpower, it's lights out. It's nine straight outs.
Yeah, now he pitches 7+, and then I think I have to say the biggest 3 outs of the Lions' season. Your man, your favorite pitcher, I think, for that team.
Yeah, my least favorite pitcher, actually.
Kazuhisa Ishii.
Somebody
does a magic act.
Yep.
Unbelievable job.
He looked like he wasn't striking. He wasn't up there to strike people out so much per se, but he was keeping his slider down and his fastball in on the hands.
I think that's when he got Itoi to swing and miss that for the final strike was a slider.
It was nasty stuff. His sliders can still be nasty when he's
focused. when he wants
focused. He wants to be there when he thinks he's the guy and it's his time and it's his show and it's worthy of his attention, he'll pay attention and pitch. I just don't want him on my team most of the time.
Yeah.
Well, but he came through. And the Lions won it, and Nishiguchi gets his first win. And once more, the Fighters' bullpen blows up in the end, and it is, see you later, Masataka Nishida.
Yeah.
And a tough end for the Fighters. So, boy, that was an ugly loss.
Yeah, I mean, when it got out of hand there at the end. But, Ishii, he put it together. I mean, the 90 feet away the tying run is, and then there's a runner on first, and he gets a strikeout, and then I think they steal the second base on the strikeout. Yep. And he gets a weak ground ball, and they cut down the runner at home, and then he gets a fly ball that Kuriyama runs down in left, and they're out of the inning. They had the lead intact, one-run lead intact, and that was really effectively it. And then, the Lions busted open that bullpen, and it was like a pinata.
They got to help. Actually, they scored on an error. They tied it on an error. Yeah.
Yeah, that was Kensuke Tanaka's error early on that they tied it on. It was a mess. It was not a good scene for the Fighters.
Yeah. Well, that was the one. They took the lead on error. Yeah, they took the lead on an error.
On the error in the eighth inning. Yeah.
Right. Then Tanaka did his best to come back, and he gave him that shot in the top bottom of the eighth with a leadoff double, and that was pretty much it.
They really didn't have enough pitching in it, and it stood out. So,
coming up next?
So we got the Lions are going to the Hawks. That's going to start on Thursday. Your prediction? Let's see. The Hawks are 15-5-4 versus Sabre this year.
15-5-4. Well, what's
September,
their record?
They were
5-3-2.
So that's not it.
Playoffs? What is it, 0-5?
0-6. Oh, in the second stage, 0-5. But overall, in the playoffs, they're 0-6. I saw on TV the other day. So,
They won the first stage in 2006 at Sabre Dome. So they're not completely winless.
Okay. Well, I saw it was 0-6 on TV, but.
Well, they've been, no, they've, I know what you're talking about. They've been in the playoffs 6 times, and they've never been to the Japan Series, and they brought in the playoffs. In fact, the year they introduced the playoffs, the Hawks then won the regular season 2 years in a row and didn't go.
And last year they lost to the third-place team, and they're facing another third-place team, so.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah. I have, What? I have Wada, Sugiuchi, Holton, and Setsu, and then Wada again probably starting. And then for the Lions, I got Kishi because it's probably his turn. Hawashi, maybe. Yeah. Wakui and Nishiguchi again.
Who was after Hawashi?
Wakui to come back.
So Kishi, Hawashi, Wakui.
Nishiguchi. Okay. That's what I'm looking at. Go ahead.
I might see you say Kikuchi in there. You know, knowing Watanabe, I think we're going
to nice
see him.
It'd be nice to see, though. It'd be nice because,
knowing Watanabe, I think we're going to see him.
All right. What's your prediction?
I'm going to...
Stop laughing.
It is hard because the Hawks never win in the second stage. They become the Boston Red Sox and Chicago Cubs of the second stage.
All right.
Your
number.
The Hawks are going to win it in... they start with one win. They're going to go 3-1 on the field and win it they'll win it in game four.
So 4-1, Hawks. I got Hawks in 5 games on the field, so they have the 1-game advantage. So I'm saying that essentially they'll go 3-2 to win to win the series.
That's and just for the people who are new to this, the Climax series has not only does the team that has the edge in the regular season standings get to play all its games at home, and not only does the league champion begin the final stage with a win, they don't only begin the final stage with a win, but a tie is as good as a win.
That's true, too. You got to win the games if you're the visiting team. You can't just tie.
If the series is tied for any reason, it goes to the... So if there are two ties... If there are two ties in Fukuoka Dome, that's like a Hawks win.
Yep, tough road to hoe. So you got to win these games. So what about the CLCS? Wednesday. I got
these two teams are so much closer. Yeah. In terms of their quality.
I got Yoshimi, Nelson, Chen, and Yamai pitching is what I'm predicting. And then for the Swallows, Matsubuchi probably.
Yeah.
And you said Yamamoto might start.
I think Yamamoto will probably be going to be the game one starter.
And Tateyama, Ishikawa, and then back to Akagawa tonight. So I'm picking with my heart, so everybody knows, but I'm picking with the Dragons to win in 6. So I think they're going to go 3-3.
I'm going to go with that, too. I'll stick with that.
I think the teams will go 3-3. Perhaps we'll see a tie in there.
The way these two games will be playing, the way these two teams play, we will see some long games in which every player wearing a Chunichi uniform could appear.
Yeah.
And out of the bullpen.
Yeah, and the Dragons have won 5 straight in the regular season over the Swallows at Nagoya Dome, and they've won 8 of 9 against them there, but I don't expect that to continue. That's just this regular season crap, so...
You said a bad word.
I did, but it's a four-letter word that you can use. It's not the ones that you always use that I have to cut out of this.
Okay. Too much information.
Too much information. Let's go to fielding the questions. All right, we had actually 5 questions from Walker last week, and we only got to 2 of them, and I don't think we're going to get to all of them today either, but we'll start with question number 3 that he sent to us, which was, if Kei Egawa cannot reach a deal in MLB this offseason, is there any chance he will sign with an NPB team, or will he stay overseas?
What's your thinking?
My thinking is, Kei who?
he's gonna get a contract somebody. I think there are teams who are interested in him.
Major league teams.
Yeah, major league teams who are interested in getting him for nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I could see him going to a team like maybe the A's or the Mariners, and maybe they give him a shot or something. But sure. I don't, you know, when the U.S. team came over and played, I forgot what they call it. What is it, Nichibei Yakyu?
Right.
They played, and I covered a long time ago. David Wright of the New York Mets talked about Kei's stuff and everything after the game in the press conference, and all Egawa did that day was walk a batter after batter. And this, you know, this is a group of, you know, relative all stars, but not consummate all-stars. I mean, they're players you might know if you watch Major League Baseball all the time, but they're not the star players. And he just walked everybody, and then when he got the guts and the nerve to throw the ball over the plate, he got whacked. I mean, he got some outs because they hit him at people, but afterwards David Wright says, well, you know, I understand his plight. I mean, you know, he's got tough batters that he's got to face, and I'm thinking, what, do you just want, are you just saying that because you want Egawa to go over to the States so you can bash his brains in? Because he didn't pitch well. He didn't pitch well against really good lineups, and he never has over there. And I'm waiting for him to come back. I wish a team over here, like, let's say, Oryx or somebody, would give him a chance to come back and pitch.
Oh, well, Rock-10's, you know, Rock-10.
Rock-10, they could collect all the used-up Major League players, right?
Former. Prime, yeah. They think that if they collect enough of them, they might get a pack of gum or something. Recycling.
We have a lot of Japanese players over there who I wish would just come back and play here. I mean, Kenshin Kawakami, he's just lost over there. He's not doing very much. He was awful last year for the Atlanta Braves. Just come back. I mean, you know.
Egawa, I think, will get a chance, and I think, well, the only reason he was still with the Yankees is they were paying him all that money.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they would have released his butt.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
He's going to give him a chance. I know there are teams that I know there are teams that like his potential, you know, what he can do now. But he needs to be, you know, he needs to pitch in Kansas City or Seattle or Milwaukee.
Oh, not in Milwaukee. You put a good defense behind him, for goodness sakes.
Well, that's he can pitch. The guy can pitch. The guy just needs to have his head on straight.
He needs every
inch. He didn't have that with New York, and I don't know why anybody. I never forget the Nichibeyaku, that sample one, the opening party when Matsuzaka had announced his he was getting, the Lions had held a press conference that Matsuzaka was being posted. Mm-hmm. Egawa had been clamoring to be posted for 3 years, and the Tigers had said, well, we'll think about it. And I wanted to go and ask him what he thought about being posted. And before the party, he was sitting by himself all alone in a corner. During the party, he was standing by himself all alone in the corner. And by the time I got up the nerve to I'm going to go, I'm going to ask him now. He was gone. He just disappeared. This is not the guy you really expect to be a big, you know, a big hit with the New York Yankees.
Right, right. Well, I would like to see him come over here. I hope he gets a job over there, but, well, we'll have to see. I would like to see him over here. Question number 4 was, will Takeshi Yamazaki, not Yamazaki, right, retire, or can he find a starting job elsewhere? I've already heard that the Dragons were interested in bringing him back, right, which would not make much sense at all since he really can't play in the field defensively that much.
Right, let's get this straight now. Hoshino got rid, well, he got rid of him. He didn't want to play him in the first place. And actually, Takagi didn't want to play. Takagi was the guy he broke in under.
And I wouldn't say broke in, he kind of slipped in.
Okay, here's a 27-year-old who can really crunch it, who's the best minor league hitter in Japan. And he can really crunch the ball, and he draws zillions of walks. He draws zillions of walks on the farm team. He hits tons of home runs on the farm team. They bring him up, and he hits tons of home runs and draws bunches of walks. He might hit 250 or 260, but he draws tons of walks, and he hits lots of home runs when he's on the first team. And then they send him his butt back down because he can't play defense. Okay.
Right.
Then Takagi finally brings him up. We've seen this scenario a number of times. A guy does well enough. He had done well enough. He was a big enough hitter in the minors to get a good look in fall and the spring. 1 year in the spring, he came out on fire. He was unstoppable. He probably hit 4-something in the open season.
Mm-hmm.
You can't take a guy like that and leave him in the camp, which was pretty much the plan. Bury him as soon as he drops, you know, he cools off. But the problem was he didn't cool off until about the middle of August.
Right.
And so they just had to keep playing him, and he won the Central League home run crown as a first-year regular at the age of 27. The same thing happened to Shigeno Bashima with the Carp. The Carp didn't want him on the team. They've been trying to sell the guy or, you know, trade him for a few ball bags. I mean, It's that much. Okay, that'll leave the zippers don't have to work. we just don't want to say we released him. And he comes out and he wins the Central League batting title at the age of 27 in his first year as a regular. So he was one of these guys. And then finally they had to Hoshino was clear when Hoshino came back as manager. They're clearing the decks when for Nagoya Dog because they want a speed team. And they're starting to weed out all the fat guys. What makes really a lot of sense to bring in Takeshi Yamasaki at the age of about 65.
You're meaner than I am.
I love him. He's my guy. But
he's walking around with a couple of knives in his back after that one. You didn't just get him once, the sixth and the five. For goodness' sake.
Well, hey, he's faster than I am.
You made him older than you.
Hey, he's faster than I am. That's all right. He'd beat the crap out. What's the word I can use? He'd beat the crap out of me.
Getting back to the question, yes, I think he can find work somewhere. I'm not sure that it's going to be in a Central League team because I don't think he'd be a useful defensive player, so I don't think he can start for you. If you want to carry a guy like that on the bench who's just going to pinch hit for you occasionally, maybe get some time in the field when you're winning some games or losing some games by big margins, then maybe he's useful. Otherwise, I'd just put him in the Central League and let him DH, and there might be some work out there for him, but he's going to have to prove it after a down season.
Well, Orts probably won't take him back. I mean, they released him and he hit, 180 home runs for Rockton?
Yeah.
I think, well, now he's really done.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the last question. We're going to have to get to your other question, Walker, next time. But let's go to a Michael Westbay question, and he says, what's with all the head sliding in the first? He's been watching the playoffs, obviously. He says, there have been a lot in the four playoff games I've seen so far. My thought is that this tournament reminds them of Koshien. I was hoping you and Jim might come up with another possible explanation because, as I said, this is not their normal behavior. Michael, all I can say is the playoffs make you stupid.
I was going to say.
The pressure just makes you stupid.
I think it is the air pressure. I think it's the pressure. It's actually the air pressure squeezing their brains. I don't know. It's
frustrating.
It's instinctive. You know, they have it beaten into them. I love the comment of the coach, Mr. Kamikawa, former Dragon and Lotte coach, and I asked him if he hit slid. He says, no, I stopped doing it in high school because I graduated.
Yeah, I think you said that before. And I'm like, you know, I see these guys doing it, and, you know, again, he said it's not their normal behavior. You don't usually see these teams with guys sliding headfirst
in the face. Not the Hawks, maybe.
and the Fighters, maybe, with just the young players. Yeah, right. And all the veterans are like, what are you doing? Get up.
Exactly. So, I don't know.
There's no explanation,
Michael. But on the other hand, there's so many things we've seen that have little that defy normal, the explanations we apply in the regular season. So, but that's not one of the kind of unusual things I want to see much of.
Yeah, well, I implore any listener who goes to a game, please carry a sign that says don't head slide into first base. Please run through the bag. It's faster. Just make a sign. Have somebody make the sign for you and carry it in there. I don't know what to do. I can't tell them what to do. I'm working.
All right, dude.
All right, man. Good show. Thank you for the email, Walker. Thank you, Michael Westbay. We appreciate it. You can email the show at yakujohn@gmail.com or go to our Facebook page and leave us a comment there. We will be back on Sunday recording and post on Monday regardless of what happens in the playoffs. Hopefully they'll all be done, but probably not. We got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday for the Central League, and then the Pacific League starts on Thursday. It's a good possibility that it's not done.
Right.
But we will post on Sunday night after the game on Sunday night, and we'll have to wait for the next week. If the games kick over into the next week, we'll just wait till the next week to post. And then we'll have shows as normal all the way through the Japan series, and after that we will decide what to do in terms of our weekly posting.
Right. So we will decide to switch from normal to abnormal, if that is possible.
Well, you mean Because I've been abnormal.
That's what I mean. That's why I think that would be a difficult switch for us to make. We have to be normal before we can depart from the normal.
Right, but somebody's got to go and get their computer repaired. There was a problem mid-season that we've been actually working through, and actually taking the computer on the road with me here to the Kansai region has been quite the adventure, but it's working. It's working so far, and hopefully when we get back to
Had the Tigers been in the playoffs, then you would have been the man. If they had finished second, you would have been the man on the spot.
Team, don't you think? Although I was, it was impossible to do anything. Oh, by the way, people never run in the Osaka Marathon. It was the most poorly planned event I've ever witnessed.
That's not what our paper said.
Oh well, our paper
said it was a work of magnificent planning, I think.
Oh, yeah, you try running, buddy. All right. Thank you very much for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
Good night,
Joe. Enjoy your baseball.
Enjoy your baseball.